Good morning. Good morning. This morning's scripture comes from Matthew 14, 22 to 33. And in this text, we read about Jesus walking on the water and also Peter walking on the water. I think about sometimes when I look at the lake and I see the little bugs that are skirting on top of the water. And I know how they do that, which is surface tension. But, you know, here we've got two people, in the case Jesus and then also Peter, that are somehow defined what we know as science. So we don't know why, how and why, or explain how this is done, walking on the water. And this definitely is considered a miracle. And this is a gospel reading, so if you could stand, if you're able, and we'll read through this scripture. Immediately Jesus made the disciples get into the boat and go on ahead of him to the other side, while he dismissed the crowd. After he had dismissed them, he went up to the mountainside by himself to pray. Later that night, he was there alone, and the boat was already a considerable distance from the land, buffeted by the waves because the wind was against it. Shortly before dawn, Jesus went out to them, walking on the lake. When the disciples saw him walking on the lake, they were terrified. "It's a ghost," they said, and cried out in fear. But Jesus immediately said to them, "Take courage, it is I. Don't be afraid." "Lord, if it is you," Peter replied, "tell me to come to you on the water." "Come," he said. Then Peter got down out of the boat, walked on the water, and came toward Jesus. But when he saw the wind, he was afraid, and beginning to sink, cried out, "Lord, save me." Immediately Jesus reached out his hand and caught him. "You of little faith," he said, "why did you doubt?" And when they climbed into the boat, the wind died down, and then those who were in the boat worshipped him, saying, "Truly, you are the Son of God."
In some ways, the Thanksgiving time serves as a practice run for the Advent and Christmas hubbub. We may have families or in for special meals, some decorations for Thanksgiving, but not to the extent we feel is expected or needed for Christmas. When we have lists of things to do, what to bake, what to buy for gifts, how to decorate, maybe Lent amid unpredictable weather, or making room for others traveling to stay with you. And then there are the world events that are going on. On the evening news, we hear about crime, weather disasters, wars, etc. The list goes on and on. We can get overwhelmed by it all. But instead, we can focus on the reasons for the season. We're celebrating the birth of Jesus, our Savior and Shepherd. We are not looking back to this event, or we are looking back to this event. The Old Testament people were looking forward to it, and the New Testament people were living during it. Jesus' life is the focal point of Scripture. He was there at creation, and he promises to return again one day. The scripture from Hebrews was written to people that were second generation, some of them didn't know exactly what happened when Jesus was there right in the midst. But they did know that they wrote it for those people. The ones that wrote it, we don't know for sure who it was. There's a number of possibilities. But whoever it was, whether it be Peter or some of the others that are mentioned, not Peter, Paul. But whoever it was that wrote it knew all the things that happened, and he's bringing back to them the things of what people in the Old Testament went through and why. It tells us that life was not any easier back then than things are today. God has God asked you to go floating boat, also known as an ark, when there's no rain or body of water in your body, like he asked Noah? Or has he asked you to leave your home, like Abraham, who most likely could have lived in a two-story home with mosaic tiles and colored plaster walls and running water, and they even had libraries in the earth, to live in those skin tents, not led by GPS, but led by G-O-D. I can imagine an interesting discussion between Abraham and Sarah on the dear God wants us to move. Where? He said he'd lead us, and we'll be traveling with our nephew Lot, our herd, and our servants. And we'll be living in tents, too. I'm thinking her first thoughts were not joy and excitement, but they did focus on what God wanted them to do and when. Life is a journey or a race. It's not a sprint, but a marathon. It takes endurance, determination, and focus. The author of Hebrews used the analogy, therefore, since we are surrounded by such a cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that is so easily entangles us. And let us run the race with perseverance marked out for us, fixing our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith. For the joy set before him, he endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Hebrews 12:1-2. Throw out everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles. Runners don't wear long, boring robes and carry backpacks full of things that they might need or that they don't want to leave behind. And unless it's a TV show or a movie, they don't run in high heels. They choose good, big running shoes. We need to be ready each day to run the race called life that's set before us as well. What hinders you or me? Brothers can get awfully heavy to carry around. Is there someone you or I should forgive to lighten the load? The other person sometimes is not even aware of the rush, so it only hurts us to hold on to it. Brothers have a way of hanging around, even long after the reason for this is forgotten. Resentment or jealousy can cause a trip also. Who do you resent because they have life easier in your estimation? We often don't have any idea what others may be struggling with silently. Or can jealousy trip us up because of all that they have accomplished, not being willing to acknowledge all the hard work and sacrifice it took them to get there? What excuses do you and I use for not moving out of our comfort zone? Excuses can slow us down like gum from a bottle of a bloody shoe. I don't have time. It's not my talent. It could be dangerous. My friends and family would not approve. God wants us to scrape the excuses off the shoes and go where he calls us to go and do what he calls us to do. He didn't take Moses' no for answer of no. He sent him his brother to Egypt to free those who were suffering. And God was with them also. Sin is a big weight that keeps us from moving forward. Without Jesus, our sin feels like lead, and the consequences can stop us short. What can we do about what hinders us? We can give it all to Jesus. He says, come to me, all you who are weary and burdened. I will give you rest. Amen. When you are really sorry for your sin, not just that you have caught, he will forgive you. He really loves you and me. He wants to let you know. He wants you to give him all the burdens of that unencumbered by the load you were carrying, he can make you a progress. And progress will only come now if you focus on the goal. A marathon runner has to stop or slow down to rehydrate along the way occasionally. But these runners don't sit down on a bench and read a novel or go to a restaurant for a full meal along the course. They stay focused on the finish line. That is what the thought of goodness is mentioned in Hebrews 11 is. If you have time today or sometime this week, read Hebrews 11 and see what their focus was. Each one of the people there focused on the promise of God in Jesus. And the writer couldn't even mention them all because there's so many of them. So he just says it. And there's many more. Just mention their names briefly. Abraham didn't see the promised land inhabited by his descendants. I guess he's sending. But he went where God led him, knowing it would happen in God's timing. Joseph made the Israelites promise to take his bones with them when they left Egypt for the promised land, even though it would not happen until 400 years later. They did it as he requested those many years later, not distracted from the promise. What distracts us from God, from his goal for us? Success is a fad in itself, but if it becomes our goal, instead of following Jesus, it becomes a detour. If a busy schedule leaves us too exhausted and too out of sorts to spend time with God in prayer and scripture, it becomes a detour. When fear overwhelms you or me, fear of failure, of illness, fear of loss, insecurity, what fear is waiting to push you off the path? But the goals get lost from view when we have these fears. The object of fear becomes the new focus, and we start to stumble. Peter could tell us about losing focus. He was actually walking on water with Jesus. As long as his focus was on Jesus, everything was fine. But then he heard the wind and saw the waves, and he started to sing. He was a fisherman, so he knew the signs of the weather on a lake. He called out to Jesus as he was sinking, and Jesus reached out and took his hand. When you and I are sideswiped by fears or distractions and lose focus on Jesus, we can do the same thing. When we call out to Jesus, he will help us regain the proper focus. When we turn our focus to our Savior, our priorities shift back to what they should be. Daily hassles and struggles don't seem so insurmountable when we have eternity in mind. There is an inner peace that is there regardless of the circumstances to help us through turbulence and tragedy. A couple of thoughts that have come to my mind about focus. I was thinking of little children when they're learning to walk. They look at their parents as they take these wobbly steps forward, and they focus on them. And then all of a sudden they start stumbling. What's the first thing a parent does? Reaches out their hand, picks them back up. And that's what Jesus is waiting to do for us. And then looking around to be distracted, the movie Chariots of Fire, the one runner was very competent in running, but couldn't get the time fast enough. His coach said, the problem is, you're looking back to see what the others are doing. You need to focus on the finish line and just keep going. So those are some things we need to think about. Do we call out to Jesus when we need him, when we stumble? courage do you need to turn over to Jesus today? How can we keep our focus on the right path? By prayer, reading the Bible, learning from others the struggles they've gone through in Scripture, sharing our stories with others, and hearing theirs. Let go today of what needs to be left behind and trust God to lead you on the right path. The Apostle Paul says it this way, "Not that I have already obtained this, or have already been made perfect, but I press on to take hold of that which Christ Jesus took hold of for me. Brothers, I do not consider myself yet to have taken hold of it, but one thing I do, forgetting what lies behind and struggling toward what is ahead, I press on toward the goal to win the prize for which God called me heavenward in Jesus Christ." And that's Philippians 3:12-14. What do you and I need to forget? What are we looking at? Crisis in the news? The overwhelming task list of to-do things, the Christmas or otherwise? We can focus on Jesus, who sent God to us. We can focus on Jesus, who God sent to us as a baby in Bethlehem, who sacrificed his life for our sins. Jesus is there waiting for our focus to return to him. And his hand is there when we need him to help us keep from thinking. At this Christmas time, as we start the holiday season, we need to keep that focus in mind that Jesus is the reason for the season. I know that's said often, but that's the truth. So let's pray. Lord, help us focus on what you have promised us and help us to walk with you toward that goal. Keep us from going off